Good evening, friends, and welcome once again to another edition of Answer the Call. This is Brother James back again, and I'm honored and grateful to be here tonight with all of you who have set this as a time apart to listen to and study God's love letter to mankind, the Holy Bible. No doubt faithful listeners will recall we've largely been using our time together to go through the Epistle of James, but tonight we're going to deviate a bit from that study as the Lord has laid something a bit different upon my heart. So if you have your Bible handy, and I pray you do, join with me if you would, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, looking at those familiar first 8 verses. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, as it is written, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." I would like to speak with you over the next 2 broadcasts, focusing on our most valuable resource, though often also our most poorly managed, time, and a message I've entitled, "A Time for a Change." In our opening scripture, we understand that the author of this book, Koheleth, or the preacher, who we understand to be either Solomon or possibly someone writing from the perspective of Solomon, had set himself to know and understand what, if anything, was beneficial to seek after in this present world. And having tasted excess upon excess, riches upon riches, and all the pleasures that one may know, and falling into sin, idolatry, and brokenness, he described that men's ambitions and goals to be vanities upon vanities and utter foolishness, a chasing after the wind, if you would, and had crafted this sermon as either a warning or admonition to those who would come after, or perhaps as a means of confession and repentance for his own shortcomings. Regardless of actual author or original intent, this book stands apart in my mind, and this passage has long spoke to my heart that God has ordained many seasons, times, and purposes for man to experience and to be changed by. And over the course of our lives, we must become aware of those things which have true long-lasting value and gain the discernment and hopefully wisdom to choose between those good things and those far less good or even regrettable things. Amen? We live in a world that is, even as we speak, passing away. If our focus be solely upon this world, the things that may seem so very important to our short-term perspective may have little actual value in the grander scheme of things. Time will continue to march forward until that day that only our Father knows. So the question then arises, what will we do with our brief time, beloved? The grand schemes, wealth, and regard of men are fickle things that will never persevere the ravages in time. Indeed, they pass like leaves upon a maple tree. Bright green buds in the spring, transitioning to the blazing glory of autumn, before the cold and barren winters, only to be replaced by new leaf buds once again in the spring. Is all then hopeless or pointless, friends? Is man born only to strive, suffer, and ultimately perish? Perhaps, for the unbeliever, as this world is the only inheritance that they will ever receive. However, if you've put your full trust and faith in Christ Jesus, then, beloved, we have a mission and a calling to a greater inheritance, if you would, a greater responsibility. You see, believers are called to redeem their time, to be reflections of that light we follow to a lost and dying world. But to do so, we cannot be stagnant or backslidden in our faith or our walk. We must wake up each day with the focus that is indeed time for a change. And if we desire to see and be that change in the world, then we ourselves must be amenable and malleable to God. You have heard it said that if any man be in Christ, he be a new creation. But I tell you, if he be backslidden, if he makes strongholds of sin, if he seeks not to apply the truths given in Scripture, God's holy word, then he can expect no change. He will retain his salvation, amen, if his faith be genuine, but he will still be plagued by defeat and struggles. But tonight, I hope to help someone, because even if you struggled in the past, It's my hope that tonight's message might stir you up, that it might remind you that we have the victory that overcomes the world, that practical application of your faith and God's teaching can empower you to cast off your rags, to tear down those strongholds, and to gain victory in your life. So over the next two broadcasts, I would like to speak on four things we must understand if we truly desire God to work a change in and through us, but only if we truly agree that in our lives it is time for a change. Our first point tonight, only God is unbound by time. It can be a struggle, I know, to at times keep a proper perspective on things. It can be easy to become discouraged when a ministry falters, or when you don't get that promotion or raise you work towards at work, or when our loved ones or ourselves have struggles, illnesses, or seemingly untimely passings, when we have falling outs with our friends, loved ones, or even our brethren. We can at times lose sight that God is in control, and all things are transpiring as He said they would. Scripture itself addresses this very topic with the Apostle Peter, penned his two letters to the same geographic region of believers that would later be referenced in Revelation. Some of those believers, while experiencing the hardships, persecutions, conflicts, and struggles of those days, began to doubt the truth of their faith, fearing if Christ returned not within their lifetimes, that their belief would have been in vain. Peter sought to reassure them, first in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. For so much as ye know ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which by the gospel is preached unto you. He continues in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, where he writes, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We must not grow faint in our presentation, defense, and application of the gospel which we have received. God's word will not return void. However, we must be sure that we search out Scripture's application and apply it to our lives and our walk, if we truly wish to be transformed by God's word. My preacher often says that we can have just as much of Jesus as we're willing to receive, and that while we are redeemed from the law, God's word is not to be disregarded or minimized, that this is the process of crucifying the flesh that our spirit might be made whole. As God is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, we understand that he is outside of our concept of time, yet present in every moment. Indeed, he goes before us each and every day, setting our path, bidding us to choose our steps in consideration of his holy word. God is not only with us on Sunday or during prayer, beloved. God is ever present, omnipotent, and all-powerful. If not so much as a sparrow falls from a tree without his directive, then do not be discouraged that somehow you have found yourself outside of God's love, or that he is not in control, or that he has turned his back upon you or your plight. Friends, these are lies straight from hell itself. God is not distant, nor sleeping, nor ignorant of his creation, nor his children, but present in all places and all times, which leads us to our second point. Our perception of time is in our mind. This is something I believe we all know, but we may struggle to fully grasp. Our perception of time is relative to our experience of time. Let me clarify, friends. I know I can think back to the summers of my youth, how those precious months of summer vacation seemed to last forever, or the torment of waiting a whole year for a birthday or Christmas. Yet as we age, it seems like the summers pass so much more quickly, that birthdays come and go so quickly sometimes we can legitimately lose track, if even momentarily, of our own age. Amen. As I stated, I believe that such is the case, friends, simply because our perception of time is relative to our experience of time. So, of course, a summer would stretch on so long when we were children, considering that when we were 5, 1 year was equal to 20% of our total life experience. Now, if we should live to see 100, a year passing will represent 1% of our total life experience. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's neat, but what's the point, James? We must be aware that procrastination can easily lead to opportunities or goals becoming unattainable, simply because, much like the parable found over in Luke chapter 12, 16 through 21, of a man who tore down his barns to build greater, we know not at what hour our soul may be demanded. And while our focus was on our future, we may have inadvertently squandered our present. It's easy to think that there will always be another tomorrow, another week, or even another year. But as time passes, it can become easy to collect a whole bucket list of things we wished we had not put off, things we never made the time to do. You know, beloved, the saddest thing I've ever heard when sharing the gospel is when a person says that they believe, but they're not yet ready to accept Christ into their heart, that they just need a little more time. Friends, God knows we're not going to get it perfect, and He's gone ahead and He has crafted our lives in such a way that hardships, trials, tests, and struggles, while often the fruit of our disobedience, have within them the seeds to produce fruits worthy of repentance, but only if we work to redeem the days that we have. In closing tonight, I ask, friends, are you tired of being stuck in a rut? Are there strongholds in your life that you've fortified in defiance of God's word? Are you in agreement that you are ready, that it is time for a change? If so, and you feel the Lord is calling you to make some changes, would you be willing to answer the call?